CISA are the local hero people. Phil Corman from CISA and Caroline Pam, a local hero from the Kitchen Garden in Sunderland. How did your farm fare with Tropical Storm Irene and now the remnants of Tropical Storm Lee?
It's very, very wet out there. We didn't suffer catastrophic losses like some of our friends have, but we have had the cumulative effect of all this rain has just been pretty difficult for most of our fall crops.
Which of your friends' farms were affected and how so?
David and Anna at Natural Roots had all of their crops submerged in flood water from the South River flooding. And one of our crew members, her boyfriend is from Williams Farm, and they just about lost everything, completely flooded by the Deerfield River.
And what's even more upsetting for Williams Farm is when you drive by there, you can see that the silt that came from the river, it's really a question that they'll have to assess is sort of what's the fertility of the soil that they'll have remaining from there. And the government, the federal government does provide some relief, and I'm sure they'll be able to access some of that relief, but it's just a terrible mess and a terrible challenge.
So we have to support the other farmers who still have their crops even more so now to keep the local hero community robust.
You know, what we've done at CISA is we sort of put up on our website for farmers sort of the resources we have found, and we kind of encouraged our farmers to let us know if they're doing any cleanup days or any fundraising, and that we would promote that for them. And so, you know, what we could all do is when we go to our farmer's market, if our farmer doesn't have the produce we normally would buy more of something else, give them the money you'd be giving them every week no matter what, and ask them how they're doing. I think even just asking that question is so helpful.
And that's one of the things where a farm share model comes into play really well if you believe in local agriculture, because you take the risks financially that the farmer takes.
Right. It's sort of an insurance policy in a way that says we're in this together. The harvest will vary every year, and that I, as a community member of this farm, understand that, and I am glad to get a slice of the harvest no matter what it is.
There are a lot of farms helping each other through this as well. This spring we started a Google group for the Pioneer Valley farmers, and there's been a lot of activity on there with people identifying needs that they have to try to continue to supply their CSA even after the flood, and, you know, farmers offering up things that they can contribute or swap or trade.
So you are actually rallying around the other farms to supplant what may have been unplanted.
Right, so we're trying to help out back and forth as much as possible, and we're also going to be putting that link in the next CISA newsletter to encourage other farmers to join that list and to be able to participate.
Caroline from the Kitchen Garden and Phil Corman from CISA. Caroline, you are a CSA farm, so you let the community help you bear that risk. And you go and sell your wares at farmers markets, but also directly to restaurants. And you came from the restaurant world. Is that true?
That's true. I got interested in farming because I was first off interested in food. Realizing that it's the 10th anniversary of September 11th, I'm realizing that that really is what prompted me to go and embrace my interest in food and finally enroll at the French Culinary Institute in New York, which is how I started down this road. I was working at a newspaper on September 11th and had been increasingly interested in food and spending all my time cooking, all my time reading cookbooks, and that sort of finally prompted me to just go and do it, and I started going to the French Culinary Institute in October 2001.
So then did you actually act as a chef for any time at a restaurant?
Yep, I worked at a restaurant in Brooklyn or several restaurants and did some catering and quickly became interested in farming because I was a shopper at the Union Square Green Market in Manhattan and just was overwhelmed by the gorgeous produce and just talking with farmers all the time about what it was like, and I just decided that was what I wanted to try.
Learning how to cook and be a chef is something that somebody can want to try because they usually have a backlog of some knowledge of cooking from their own home, but farming, unless you grew up farming, is a completely different world, I'm imagining. How do you make that transition from person cooking at a restaurant in New York City to buying a farm in the Western Massachusetts?
I think you have to get out of New York City because there's not a lot of
farmland there.
Yeah.
Yeah. First, I had to go to Italy, and I worked on a farm there for a summer and had my first little taste of what it was like and decided I did, in fact, want to have more experience. And I met my now husband at the time. We were both working at the Green Market as market managers, and he also independently went to farm in Italy. And he eventually came back to Hampshire to finish up his studies, and I followed him to do an apprenticeship at Food Bank Farm.
And just so happens there's farmland here.
Mm-hmm.
So now you're the Kitchen Garden in Sunderland, and according to Phil Corman from CISA, who knows these sort of things, that your display in the market is so colorful, is, you know, It's presented almost maybe like a plate would be at a fancy restaurant.
Well, it's funny because Caroline, I was asking her, so, you know, you grow all this amazing produce and flowers, right? And Caroline said to me, no, we don't grow any flowers. And I realized I had made the mistake because their displays are so colorful that my mind just put flowers in.
There must be some flowers in there, but there are not actually. Is that sort of a vision and a goal to present your food in a way at a market that it might be presented on a plate in a restaurant?
I mean, we all eat with our eyes, and displaying things on the market stand with contrasting colors and, you know, abundance and just making it so beautiful that you absolutely have to eat it, that definitely is our goal.
Mm-hmm. I hate eating carrots with my eyes, though, because they're so sharp.
Well, we grow purple carrots. We grow...
Is that what this is? I wouldn't have even known this was a carrot. How did it become purple?
How did your eyes become blue?
Don't ask that question.
But it's orange inside, so you'll recognize it as a carrot, but it's absolutely gorgeous. It's called Purple Haze. And they taste terrific.
Yes. What other things define the kitchen garden?
Grow what people want, but better than they've seen it or tried or tasted before. So what we select to grow is what tastes the best. And we grow things that you can't always find everywhere that we find to be crucial ingredients for cooking. Because that's how we start, is like, what do we want to eat? And then what are we going to grow to facilitate that? And what are we going to teach people how to cook and use our ingredients for?
So you provide recipes a lot of the time, too, with what you've got on display, right?
Yeah, we've built a really vast website with a lot of recipes. We do a blog every week, and we do a lot of one-on-one conversations with our customers face-to-face at the farmers markets. So really giving people the resources to make the best use of our ingredients.
Caroline Pan from The Kitchen Garden and Phil Corman from CESA, the local hero people who are having a local harvest dinner and auction to benefit CESA Thursday, September 15th. It's called On the Table, and it's at the Garden House at Look Park. More information at buylocalfood.org.